The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
This is Cap and J-Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J-Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
After 9 with Hoodie, I'm Cap, Danny, Jeff, JR. We are your morning team each and every weekday, 7 until 10. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Hello, Twitch. You can listen to us, of course, ESPN 1000 on the ESPN Chicago app for both iPhone and Android. You should download it. It's awesome. Has all our podcast pages there as well. And crystal clear FM 100.3 HD2. And if you go, I don't have HD2, 99% of the cars do. You just might not know it because I was the moron who said I don't have it. Found out I did. It's awesome. Awesome. All right, we're talking about Mark Wahlberg, who gained 20 pounds in 2 weeks for a movie role. Danny's taking us through what he ate. We gave you the McDonald's menu. Now let's recap what he's eating to try and do it in a more healthy way, if that's what you want to call it, Danny.
Yeah, so the McDonald's menu is basically order a lot of everything four times a day.
I mean, what you, and again, if you are missing it, go back into our podcast, the Cabbage Hood podcast feed, right before we go into the 9 o'clock hour for hour number 3. You can hear what Danny gave you as far as the McDonald's side. It seems like just a repetitive Big Mac and quarter pounders and a lot of chicken nuggets that I didn't expect in that situation.
Well, because those are like finger foods. I feel like it's easy to pop a whole chicken nugget in your mouth, just eat it and swallow it. So that's why I did it. After, for like, let's say your first lunch, when you're consuming a Big Mac and a cheeseburger, what do you want? Another cheeseburger? Is it easy just to pop a few chicken nuggets?
Oh, God.
I mean, I think you gave us 18 or 24 different chicken nuggets, though, in that whole day. That's a lot.
Yes, I did that. I got you to 11,000 calories at McDonald's with 23 items.
All right. Now, what about the other side, the healthy side?
All right. So for the healthy side, we're going to have multiple breakfasts, multiple lunch, and some dinner. So we're going to start our first breakfast is simply 4 eggs. Scramble them, sunny side up, over easy. However you like it, 4 eggs cooked in some butter.
Okay.
You're going to have a second breakfast, which we're going to up it a little bit. We're going to have 8 eggs. We're going to have 6 or 7 strips of bacon. We're going to have rice. We're going to cover all of this with olive oil, which is healthy and's got a lot of good fats for you. And we're going to wash that sucker down with a protein shake.
Okay, I will just pause just for a second. Danny, how many eggs have you had in a day?
I can eat close to a dozen eggs in a day. On a Saturday, I'll make myself an omelet, usually of about 6 eggs. And then, like, Jeez. Let's say I get to doing a bunch of stuff, and the next thing you know, it's dinner time, and I didn't have time to really cook anything I want. I'll eat another 5 eggs, easily 5 or 6 eggs.
Well, that's good, because you've already got, I said, a dozen, and it's not even 11 a.m. yet.
Correct.
Jeez. That's amazing. All right. Yes.
All right. So your second breakfast, we went over first lunch. Now we're going with ground beef of some sort. And I don't want any of that lean ground beef stuff. You want at least 85-15 ground beef. And you're going to have a hamburger patty, or you're going to have some meatloaf. You're going to have more rice, and you're going to have a salad.
My guy, Cap will take care of me on the hamburger.
I'll get you cooked up.
It's going to be nice. And you'll turn it into a nice meatloaf, too, won't you?
No question about it.
Outstanding.
You got to cover that salad with olive oil, obviously. Mm-hmm. 3 hours later, lunch number 2. For this one, we're going to go with a half of a rotisserie chicken. We're going to have more rice. We're going to have cooked spinach, cooked broccoli, cooked beets, all covered in olive oil.
Are you eating the skin on the chicken?
Of course. That's where the fat and the nutrients are.
Okay.
Never throw away the skin of the chicken. If you listen to the Armchair Nutritionist for anything, let me tell you, please eat the skin of the chicken.
Now, you said cook the beets, right?
Yeah, cooked beets.
I like to eat them right out of the jar.
I hate beets.
Well, no, you don't eat that. I'm talking actual real beets grown from the ground, Hoodie, not in a jar.
Oh.
Not canned beets.
Danny, when you keep saying a side of rice, are you talking like a cup of rice? How much rice are we talking about here?
I would say at least a cup of rice. Now, if you can stomach more, a cup and a half, that'll help you bulk up quicker. But you've got to go at least 1 cup of rice every time.
Now, hold on a second. You denigrated Hoodie for saying not canned or jarred beets. There's still beets in there.
Sure, but we're doing this as healthy as possible, right? So anytime you get a fruit or a vegetable in a can, there's something in it that's helping it live in that can until you decide to open it and eat it. And whatever that is that's keeping it preserved, you don't want that in your body, because guess what it's going to do to your insides? Preserve those as well.
Yeah, I like beets.
You are what you eat, Cappy.
Yes, you are.
That's all true. Right, so 3 hours after that, we're going to go with our first dinner. Our first dinner, we're going to change it up a little. We're going to have either veal or a pork chop. And this is going to be surf and turf, boys, because we also have to have a piece of salmon with that. We're going to have more rice, a baked potato, and some cauliflower.
Mm-hmm.
Cover those vegetables in butter. We want to have some good butter. And then our last really big meal is going to be a steak. We're also going to have to add some fish. I'm going to go with halibut. That's not really a fatty fish, but it'll help you bulk up. And then we're going to load up on just tons of more vegetables and rice. And then this is the part that really sucks. In the middle of the night, we've got to wake up, and we've got to drink a protein shake of 500 calories to get us to 11,000.
How many times? Just the one time or
just
a couple?
Just one wake up for one 500-calorie protein shake.
God, imagine waking up, you're groggy, you just feel lethargic. Hey, you got to chug this.
You know, the other side of the menu you just gave us, Danny, I don't think I would feel real tired like I would be weighed down on the other side.
This is purely, like, everything I gave you here, if you ate this in a regular day, not all of it, right, but you picked and choose from what I gave you, you would have a very healthy diet, and you would live a very healthy lifestyle. The fact that he's got to consume all of this in one day, it's just hard work. Like, it's just tedious. You're not hungry. You're not in the mood to eat. Can you imagine, like, the constipation from all the rice? So you're having a hard time getting it out of your body.
See, the one day, it seems certainly doable. It's the idea of trying to do that for two straight weeks, which is almost insane. Because by the time you get to the second or third day of doing this, I mean, it just seems like it would be such a task.
And you know, none of us would turn it down. Do you know how much Mark Wahlberg made last year? Just last year, 2020, when movies weren't coming out because of the pandemic.
How much?
$58 million. Give me $58 million. I'll eat this for 2 weeks.
Wow. So if they said to you, you had to do the McDonald's diet for 2 weeks.
$58 million, yes.
He's in.
Now, some of that damage might not be reversible, but I would give it a shot for generational wealth like $58 million.
God, it's just, and then he's working out during this.
Yes. I mean, he's still muscular underneath. Like, if you see a picture, you go to his Instagram, he's still a jacked guy. He just had to obviously put on a lot of padding.
Jeez, brutal.
No fat suit, huh?
No fat suit.
That's amazing. Well, I think I just am fascinating on the other side of the McDonald's, man. That just seems like a ton. But the other side with the, well, cauliflower, a lot of rice, though, in that spot.
Yeah, I'm not a huge, I don't eat it. I like it. Yeah. I don't eat it.
So that was fun. That was a fun exercise. And again, the Armchair Nutritionist on the ESPN Chicago app, a couple of really great guests as of late that Danny's had. Check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. And how about last night, man? The Deer District was on fire as the Bucks win the NBA championship. No, it's Milwaukee's championship, not Chicago's championship. Don't try to leech on to Milwaukee's good fortune.
Right, it's not our team.
The Bulls got work to do.
So I was in the golf outing for autistic kids golf outing that Apt Electronics puts on Monday. And so we're playing, and Mike, our boss, looks on his phone. He's like, you guys see this? What? They just increased the capacity for Tuesday night in the Deer District to 65,000. I'm like, that can't be right. 65,000? Yes. And when you add in the 22,000 in the building and then the random others that are going to show up if they win, it's going to be 100,000 people down there. And we'd love to hear from you if you were there. We had a caller earlier. He drove up from here from Mundelein, got there at 4 o'clock. He said we had a few beers, got something to eat. And had a blast in the Deer District.
That's really awesome, man, to see that many people. Now, I don't know if I'd want to be part of 65,000 people in the Deer District.
That scene was amazing.
I mean, it's great to look at, but I don't know if I want to be a part of it. But I understand if you are a Wisconsin sports fan, a Bucks fan, and you have not seen an NBA championship in 50 years in your lifetime, I'm like, wow, I think I might want to be part of that. But I'm not part of that scene. It just seemed like a lot. And you know my whole issue with this, Cap, was, can I get to my car? How can I get to my car?
How am I getting home after the game?
That's my whole thing. So what about our limo guys that we know, the guys at the car service? Where are they lined up? Where do they go? Because you know they were dancing in the streets all night long.
Oh, it had to be an amazing scene up there.
Right. Right. But I love what, again, haven't seen anything like that in sports before. That many fans outside of the arena at Fiserv Forum. But congratulations to the Bucks. And I only look at it from this standpoint, from the Bulls standpoint. You got work to do. And I don't know how you copycat what the Bucks have done. They got Giannis Antetokounmpo, a guy that is emerging as a top 50 player just based on the two-time MVP, just based on now winning a championship cap. And so there's Middleton, and you see what Middleton as well as Holiday and what they've been able to do. What I notice is seven solid players, three difference makers, and the rest are just cast-offs, really. And so how are you able to replicate that,
right,
if you're the Bulls?
Like, we have two really good players, Zach and Nikola Vucevic. Patrick Williams, they think, is going to be a good player. We haven't seen that yet. I hope they're right. And then beyond that, Kobe White's coming off a shoulder injury, and they don't have a lot of shooting. And you're like, we got a long way to go.
We talk about FOMO, right? But if you're the Bulls, you're like, so where do we start? Does it start with Zach and Vucevic? Okay, so, and like you said, you like Williams like I do as far as his upside. But he's still 20 years old, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you still have to find that third and fourth option. Or do you? Look at the Bucks. You know, out of all the big threes that we've seen over the last 20 years, that's the least of them outside of Giannis.
No doubt. Giannis, Middleton, who was a G League player, Drew Holiday, who they got from the Pelicans.
Like, the Nets on paper are a lot more formidable.
But, generational.
But they were hurt.
Durant, Irving, Harden.
Right. So
by the way, when we come back, I'm going to read you a quote from James Harden that didn't age well for him. I'm not a Harden guy. It didn't age well. That and Fear the Deer District, next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
92-88, Suns back within four, 6:24 to go. Here's Holiday, jump pass, left corner, Connaughton. He'll work it up top to Middleton. Pass inside, Giannis turns and flushes! 45 for the Greek Freak! Giannis goes hard, lays it up and in over 8, and 47 for Giannis. And the lead grows to 8 with 3.5 minutes to go in game six. Bridges guarding, Holiday going to his left, out to the wing with 5. Crowder's got him. Inside to Giannis, turns, 10-footer, goes down! 49 for Giannis! 50 years in the waiting! Giannis Antetokounmpo scores 50 in an MVP performance, delivering the 2021 NBA championship to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Obviously, I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way. And we did it. We did it, man.
I love that dude. Giannis Antetokounmpo with 50 last night. Double-digit boards, 5 blocks. He's just a monster. You're listening to Cap J. Hood, ESPN 1000, First Midwest Bank, State Street Studio. Did you see, I sent on our show email chain, the Kobe Bryant, may he rest in peace, tweet when Giannis won an MVP. Kobe tweeted at him, "My man, MVP, greatness. Next up, championship. Hashtag Mamba mentality." That was really cool to see that brought back.
You could see it happening, right? When you call him a Greek freak, it's not just because he's just some big stiff in there. It means that he is a versatile big that from the foul line down is unstoppable. It's hard to say this in the NBA that someone's unstoppable, but that definitely is the case for Giannis. So he really came into his zone, and he grew before our very eyes in these playoffs. A guy that had a problem shooting free throws and then has an excellent performance from the charity stripe. I think a lot of that is because he's at home. When he's on the road, he's a little bit rattled. But the point is, though, when he had to hit those free throws, he got it done.
17 of 19 from the free throw line, but he still had to score 33 more points to get to 50, and he did it.
Let's break down what Giannis said there, saying that it's easy to get to with a super team and win a championship. Well, that's not the case for everyone. Here's looking at you, Gary Payton. Here's looking at you, Karl Malone. It's not that easy, right?
Correct.
You can put together a team. Doesn't mean you're necessarily going to win. It's happened for some teams, for sure, but it's not a blessing for everybody. I'm going to assemble the best talent possible and win a championship. You always got to think about injuries, who's going to get the basketball, selfishness, all that stuff that coaches have to deal with, right? I would push back on Giannis and say, I wouldn't say that it's easy. It's easier. It's not easy to win in this league. It's just not easy to win. And so I don't know. I will know one thing for sure. In 4 years, I'll be keeping the receipts on Giannis. It's a great story of, oh, I don't need to be with a super team. I can win right here. And he did. There's no question. But after this contract's done, if he has a disconnect with a general manager, and by the way, that's happened in that state, a star player with a disconnect with a general manager.
That would be also the co-owner of the minority owner of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Aaron Rodgers. He's looking at you, Aaron.
Yep.
So I'll keep receipts on that, Cap. I don't need to go anyplace else. Okay. All I know is that Bleck and I are traveling. We're in a car together going to Green Bay to cover UIC Green Bay, right? We're in the car, and we got it on our sister station, ESPN Milwaukee. And 2 years ago, the topic was, what's going to happen when Giannis leaves? Like this fear. 2 years ago, Bleck and I are just traveling. We're listening in like, what? Like, you're already afraid that Giannis is going to leave? Okay. I love the idea that he's going to stay in Milwaukee forever, but I don't think that that is something that is feasible in today's NBA. If he has a disconnect with the ownership or general manager, Giannis could play someplace else later on in his career. Who knows? But we know initially that he's not part of that AU type of deal where he goes someplace else just to win a championship. He's not ring chasing. He won it in Milwaukee, which is really admirable.
He did it in an old school way, and that's what I love. I love that old school mentality of, hey, man, I'm not going to say I got to play with that guy or I got to get to LeBron or I got to get to Harden and Durant. Nope. We're going to build it here.
Just keep in mind, that first taste of the championship, it makes you want to stay in the same city. But then, you know who also said that? Damian Lillard. And now he's looking to get out. Now, what did he say? Just like Derek, I'll never recruit. You know where I am, Pacific Northwest. And dudes are like, nah. Nah, because the West is too difficult.
If you're not willing to recruit, you're not going to win.
Well, Derek didn't want to recruit. So I'll never recruit. Melo came in on his own. Derek didn't recruit Melo. So, and the same thing with Lillard. You're in the Pacific Northwest. Nothing against Portland. And they've always been a really, really good team. But it's a top-heavy West. And now Lillard's looking around like, you won't hire the coach I want. You don't give me the players I need. I'm out. Forever's a long time.
Forever's a long time.
Just saying, Cap. Like,
we'll see.
I'm just keeping I'm not accusing Giannis of anything. But I'm keeping the receipts in the bag just in case.
We'll see how it goes. Q-Man on the south side. Hey, Q, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Captain J. Hood, what's going on?
What's up?
Yeah, I just want to say Giannis has to stop this. Because, one, Giannis, the Bucks and Phoenix, this championship was gift-wrapped for them from the start. If the Lakers don't go down and Kawhi Leonard don't go down, Phoenix don't even make it to the finals. Like I said, it would have been a Lakers and Clippers battle. And one, the Bucks would have probably got swept by Brooklyn if Brooklyn Stars was in.
Q, they didn't. They got the ring. You can talk all you want about it. They got lucky. They were the last team standing, man.
But he had to stop this whole this winning without superstars, whatever. You only got there if because of the stars went down. You wouldn't even made it there, and you would have been still talking about leaving.
So, Q, should we have an asterisk next to the Bucks championship this morning?
Pretty much.
No,
No. Pretty much. They should say the championship. Thank you, Lakers. Thank you, Brooklyn, for all going down.
No.
The championship was gift wrapped for them.
No. They had to, the door may have been opened a crack, and thanks for the call. They had to walk through the door, period.
That's correct.
The Nets thought, oh, we got this. That team doesn't play any defense. Does not guard people. They got one guy who's like, nah, I don't like some of the things going on in the world. I'm not playing for 2 weeks.
Yeah, but wait.
Make sure my check's there.
I'll give Bucks full credit. They won the title. It was laid out. They took advantage of the opportunity that was in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the Nets took them to a game seven.
Mm-hmm.
If Durant's, wears a smaller size shoe and his foot is behind the three-point line, they win game seven without...
If he has a smaller size shoe, maybe his balance is off and he misses the shot. I don't know.
No. Listen, the point is that his foot was on the line. He hit essentially a game-winning shot, but his foot was on the line. Like that shot, Durant basically could have won that series without Harden and Kyrie giving them anything in the last four games.
Whatever. If Cody Parkey is 3 inches to the right, the Bears are winning the Super Bowl.
But that's not the same thing, Cap. Like, Cody Parkey choked in a huge moment.
I don't disagree.
The Nets, to Q's point, this championship feels like one of the easiest runs a team has ever had to make to do it.
They're the first team to ever be down 2-0 in multiple series in the same year and come back to win.
I know, but the teams they were down against certainly did not strike fear in my heart.
Well, just look at it from this standpoint, Jeff. You may not be impressed by the competition that the Bucks faced, but it was a hard climb still for this team. That's why it's not sexy like the Lakers or other teams that won the championship. It is a different type of team where they had to go through adversity in the games to win. It was an odd situation. I told you a couple days ago, I was like, I finally figured this Bucks team out, right? I said, Cap, here's where we are. The Bucks need to have adversity and grind out victories to win. It's never easy for them, as you've seen, right? Mm-hmm. They were behind in the last, but before this game, behind in the first quarter. They scored 43 in the second. They're getting their head kicked in Phoenix, and they're like, okay, now we got to wake up. Usually teams are just punch for punch at this time of year.
Nope.
Not the Bucks.
No. You're exactly right.
So whether or not you're impressed by the championship or not, they won the championship. Yeah, they got breaks, but this has been an odd season. There's been a lot of injuries, man, and that falls at the feet of Silver, by the way. I'm a Silver fan, but I can say it on this. We're on ESPN, right? Okay, I can't say my other job because it's SiriusXM. What a fine job by the NBA.
Right.
Going through the rough travail, the travails of going through the injuries.
Network Jonathan back.
Yeah, exactly. On my NBA radio show, a wonderful job by the NBA getting through a very tough season. But here with you, pal, let me tell you something. That's Silver. All these injuries that they suffered, they just need the TV money so bad. They want that Christmas money so bad. Look at how many injuries. It ruined the season in the regular season. That was an awful regular season for the NBA because of all the injuries.
Did you also see the Harden quote earlier in the season? I wish I can be 7 feet, run and just dunk. That takes no skill at all.
Yep.
Stop yourself, James Harden. Stop.
Yeah. Who's got a ring now?
Exactly. Giannis said he took that personally.
It's Michael.
I mean.
And I took that personally.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that was dumb on Harden's part, no doubt about it. But the Nets open up, they've already opened as the NBA title favorites for next season.
You see that, Cap? All right, so you want to get in right now on your favorite app? You putting the Nets in for the championship?
No, I will never bet on them as currently constructed. They don't guard anybody.
It doesn't matter. They were beating people down when they were healthy last year. If Kyrie or Harden are healthy in Game 7 or Game 6... the Nets win that series.
Oddsmakers have posted the Nets
again,
at plus.
You could say it. Nets win that. They didn't. Period.
I know they didn't. I understand that. But you're going to bet the Bucks over the Nets next year if you have to put your hard-earned cash?
I'm not betting the Nets.
Separate your emotions because you dislike the Nets and the way they came together. If you had to pick and wager your own money, because just rationally, who do you think is more likely to win? You're taking the Bucks over the Nets?
I didn't say the Bucks. I just said I'm not betting the Nets as currently constructed.
So your answer, Jeff, is he's betting the Bulls.
Is that just because you don't like the Nets? Because I agree with you. The Nets are probably the most unlikable team in the NBA. But and that's sometimes, Cap, how you react to things.
I do not. I like basketball. I don't care about their personality.
No, yeah. I know you, Hoodie, but yeah. You know Cap. Like, if he doesn't like somebody, he roots against them. Like, he hates Kyle Shanahan. He'll never root for the 49ers while he's there.
I never said I hated Kyle Shanahan.
Okay. But you know what
when
I mean.
When did that ever come up?
I
simply read his record and said, let's stop putting this guy in a freaking Hall of Fame. He's got never been over 500 except one year.
Well, I didn't mean to sidebar us, but you know the point is, Cap, that sometimes you don't put emotion to the side when you make your picks.
No, I laid my case out early in the season and said that team doesn't guard well enough. They will not win a championship. And I submit
to you that sentence is not correct. Just because they didn't win the title last year doesn't make your point valid. They were beating everybody.
Let me know when they win.
They were beating everybody without playing defense. Again, the point is Kyrie and Harden were hurt. If one of those two guys are healthy, they beat the Bucks in seven games.
That's fair. Let me know when they win. Let me know. Let me know when they've got a ring. Right now, my point stands. They don't guard well enough.
So you're betting the Bulls to win the East.
Plus 12,000.
Right?
That's to win the championship, plus 12,000.
If it's not the Nets, not the Bucks, who?
I got to see how the offseason plays out.
Bulls.
No shot.
Wait a minute.
Do you think the Bucks got lucky to win the championship? Such a ridiculous take. 312-332-3776. Plus, is paying college athletes the best thing to happen for us fans? Next.
I like Philly.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So we've had some people saying, Bucks got lucky. Miller's in there. Well, if Durant hits that shot and he's an inch behind the line, they knock out the Bucks. Whatever. Whatever. Tell James Harden he can tune into the parade when it's on TV.
Okay, that's fine because that's indisputable. But if you want to have a conversation about it, you saying the Nets don't guard anybody is not the reason they lost. The reason they lost is because two of their three superstars were hurt. If your point is you can't trust Kyrie to stay healthy and be there in big moments, I'm more amenable to that.
Again, when you get down to the nitty-gritty of the NBA playoffs, I'm not talking about a random Thursday in the middle of January. If you don't guard well enough, you aren't going to win, period. That Golden State team, I will defy anyone that tells me they weren't a good defensive team. Yes, they shot the crap out of it, like Jonathan said earlier. That team guarded people. If you don't guard, you don't win.
Okay, let's go to an unbiased observer, Hoodie here. Hoodie, in Game 7, when the Nets were Kevin Durant hits a game-tying shot,
right,
were they not defending well? It was Game 7 of the quarterfinals. It's about as big as it gets.
Yeah, you know, I think that what Cap's talking about is the regular season, those big numbers that we saw where it was really a battle where the Nets would give up 137 points. But here's the bottom line of it. They might give up 137 points, but they'll score 140, especially when all three are together. Now, we didn't see them enough to know whether or not they'd be a cohesive unit because of injuries. What I will tell you is, Cap, whether you like the team or not, we haven't seen offense, all three guys on the floor like this ever in the league. Three talented guys. We've never seen offense like this. Durant, Irving and Harden, we've never seen that before.
Durant, Curry, and Klay Thompson?
No, offense like this. No, this is different. No, this is, to me, it's the best that we have seen in the league. And so, but only again, it's only a sample size, though.
Yeah, I'll take the Golden State offense over.
Oh, take them. take
the
them.
Nets.
But no matter how many points that they give up, they guard when they need to guard at the end of quarter, especially the second and fourth quarter. I've seen it enough. Whether you like the team or not, if they're healthy, they have an opportunity to win the championship, even in that spot against the Bucks here in this past playoffs.
Let's go to the phones. Tyler's in Milwaukee. Hey, Tyler, what's up, man?
Hey, fellas. Good morning. I was at the Deer District last night.
Awesome.
Insane. Got back to the hotel about 3 o'clock in the morning. But really fun time. But I had a few conversations with a few people, so I wanted an unbiased opinion about this. Shot or no shot, after that championship, is Giannis now the greatest athlete to play in Wisconsin sports history? And that includes over Rodgers and Favre.
So when you say athlete, you don't mean the best runner or jumper. You're talking about professional player.
Let's go legacy.
Legacy.
Well, no shot. Jabbar.
Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay. Just wanted to get you guys' opinion on it.
This is no shade at Giannis, by the way, Tyler. We're just saying that the right. Captain was great.
Right.
And ask Kendall Gill, who's the greatest basketball player ever. He'll tell you from a high school, college, and pro standpoint that Kareem's the best.
He's the all-time leading scorer still in the history of the sport.
Right.
He was unstoppable. But Giannis, his legacy is secure.
No question.
Secure.
Gotcha. Okay, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, enjoy it, man. Enjoy that champ. First time in 50 years. He's looking at you, Bulls. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? I want the Bulls to have a difference-making player on the roster.
Got to get a point guard. Got to get a point guard. See how Milwaukee just gets, whether it's Giannis, whether it's a point forward, they get everyone organized.
Yep.
Everything's organized. Like there was that, the game is back and forth. It's a one-point game. They come down the court. It was the fourth quarter. They go to the left wing. So you're watching on your TV. It's the far side of the court.
Sure.
They get it to Giannis. They get out of his way. Bam! They attack. And there's rebounders down there. There are guys getting back on transition defense when the shot is missed or made, whatever it is. That team, man, played hard.
Get your best eight players and give me my best seven in the playoffs. Look at that roster, Cap. Look at that crap in the bottom of that roster.
Awful.
Like, nothing against Brent Forbes, but like Justin Jackson, Sam Merrill. I think he went to school with Sam Merrill.
I wear Merrills.
Elijah Bryant. These guys are DNP CD'd all the time. It's really about give me Connaughton, give me a hard-nosed Bobby Portis, give me a Teague if I need him, and it would be DiVincenzo, right?
Yeah,
and
he's hurt.
It would be him if he was healthy. That's all you need.
That's it.
But is that the formula, though? Don't think it is.
I mean,
everyone shooting threes. Like, are you going to say, well, just give me the plotting center inside? Like,
because you're not going to find another Giannis. Those don't grow on trees.
So what do you do if you're a team? You see how the Bucks won.
You just have to tailor your scheme to what you do best. Period. That's why the Bulls need a point guard. Have to find a point guard.
I was going
to
ask you guys this in shot or no shot, but we didn't have enough time. Shot or no shot, one day we see Chris Middleton's jersey hanging from the rafters up in Milwaukee.
That's a shot. That's their Pippen now.
Probably right.
No question.
Probably right.
That's your Batman and Robin, Giannis and Middleton, and Drew Holiday would be Catwoman.
Yeah, I laughed at all the different people because you know I'm a huge Middleton guy and have been for a long time.
Sure.
4 or 5 years. And when he would have a monster game, all the critics are quiet. Not a tweet, not a nothing. And then he'd have a bad game.
Yeah.
Take that, Cap. He's not that good.
Well, what topic? Stop. What's the topic I said in the middle of the playoffs that you and I talked about? I said, why is it that the number two guy is better than the number one guy? I wanted Giannis to elevate his game.
I mean, he did. He was listening.
I said it. I said it to you. I said, whenever in sports, Danny, remember this topic? I said, whenever in sports is the number two guy more productive than the number one guy or as productive, right? Because like Jordan would score all the points. Pippen was strong defensively. He had his, but there was an imbalance offensively. But then you saw Middleton be able to score a ton. But I like Giannis getting past Middleton and really coming into his own.
I love it.
It's great.
That they won, and I love the way that they won.
So you like Indiana next year? Is that what you put your bet down?
Hard pass. 312-332-3776.
No Nets. You said no to the Nets, right?
As currently constructed, I do not like the Nets.
Like Philly. You're getting with your brother, Bruce. You're getting on the Philly bandwagon.
I don't think so.
What are you going to do with Ben Simmons? It's a lot to talk about on the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast today. It's a lot to, review.
There is.
I just want the Bulls to be better, Cap. How does that happen? In the same division.
Get a guard and develop your guys. Get a guard and develop your guys. Take the next step. I'm with C. Red Fred on that.
Going to get a star on that team or what?
We'll find out.
I'm just playing with you, but I mean superstar. That's what I mean.
Your calls in a midweek top 10. It's all coming up next.
Take that.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
We're going to have a midweek top 10, and we got to talk about Deion Sanders, who's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Deion. You're about
to... Whoa. Well, hold on a second. Wait a minute.
Letterman has been doing some stuff with ABC, and he's back in the building again.
Wait a minute. This is not in my format.
Not mine either.
Danny, this is we had a Deion Sanders segment.
Guys, sometimes you just have to be able to pivot and go.
Funny, Danny went into the green room one day asked Chris Bryant if he'd come on. He never even looked up, and his wife said, no. And now Letterman, we can't keep out of here.
By saying no the way you said no seems kind compared to the way I was talked to.
I was actually on my way to the Chicago Theater, which is where I thought we were doing this. I thought you guys said we move studios.
Well, you're always welcome here, J.R. Letterman.
I appreciate that. Thank you, guys. In light of Milwaukee winning their NBA title last night, we thought we'd do a top 10 list today of the top 10 reasons to visit Milwaukee.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's tonight's top 10.
All right.
Gentlemen, the top 10 reasons to visit Milwaukee. Number 10. Selfies with a statue of the Fonz.
Ah, yes.
Nice.
Have you done that, by the way?
Hey.
Two thumbs up. Always a good time. Number 9, to go celebrate the Buckin' Championship.
Watch it now.
I said the Buckin' Championship.
Be careful now.
All
okay.
Right.
Very careful.
Ooh.
Easy
ooh
over boy. There, Biff. To pay tribute to MLB's true home run king, number 8. That's why you would visit Milwaukee. The true king is Hank Aaron. Isn't that right?
That's correct. I raised my kids. Who's the home run champ? Hank Aaron, not that fraud, Barry Bonds.
756. Oh, I see. We have a nice crowd today. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice crowd.
Number 7, it's a killer Harley ride.
Yes.
It really is. I mean, it's like 90 miles. It's beautiful.
Right past Mars Cheese Castle.
Right. Number 6, the top 10 reasons to visit Milwaukee. Hey, what's up, guys? Number 6, beer.
Beer. Oh, no question.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Tremendous.
I said beer.
Beer.
Tremendous.
Watch it now. Careful.
Top 10 reasons to visit Milwaukee. Number 5, to learn the official pronunciation of the city.
Actually, it's pronounced Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land.
I mean, we all knew that, right?
That's right.
Alice taught
absolutely
us all that very
knew
well.
That. Milwaukee.
Cap, there's no shot you knew that. No shot. Number 4, Summerfest.
You're better than that.
Summerfest. Cap, you ever been to Summerfest?
I have.
Really?
I absolutely have, many times.
Yes. Were you high?
I was not.
Okay, just checking.
I see.
Top 10 reasons
see Craig Wall
to
by.
Visit Milwaukee. Number 3, cheese. I mean,
cheese. Yes.
Love cheese.
Love cheese.
Number 2, it's not Green Bay.
Oh.
Thank goodness.
Hi-o!
And number 1, the top 10 reasons to visit Milwaukee, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hasenpfeffer, Incorporated.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Schlemiel, Schlemazel.
Thank you, Mr. Letterman.
Thank you, Letterman. Make our dreams come true. Do it our way. Nothing like Lil Vern and Shirley.
By the way, sidebar, may I approach?
Yes.
If you were a co-owner or a minority owner of the Bucks, wouldn't you be there last night?
I would have to be, yeah. I would definitely be a minority owner. Go ahead.
Wouldn't you be at the game?
Yes, I would. Absolutely.
Aaron Rodgers chose not to go.
Well, I mean, he doesn't want to be questioned, clearly.
Clearly.
And him and Shailene Woodley.
His fiance.
Yes.
He said she didn't know anything about football and never saw him play.
So you are. It's good to see Letterman. He cleared out quickly. He's got his cards and his pencils everywhere.
Yeah.
He needs to be, he's the only guy I know needs a cleanup crew
much
afterwards.
As the guy comes around, he should have just kept his night gig. Anyway.
He's trying out his material. So you were saying about Deion Sanders.
Yes, the SWAC Media Day, Southwest Athletics Conference. He is the head coach at Jackson State, the alma mater of the late, great Walter Payton.
Absolutely.
And some of the media were asking him questions going, Deion, he took exception to being called by his name.
Hey, Deion, I was just wondering if you could...
Hold on, let's back up a little bit. You don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Deion. Okay.
I call Nick Saban Nick.
No, you don't. That's a lie. If you call Nick Nick, you know you'll get cussed out on the spot. So don't do that to me. Treat me like Nick.
Okay, Deion. right. Just...
Sus.
He left.
Well, the reporter didn't have to be a dick about it. I think that was an issue.
Why? Like, because he called him Deion?
Well, I mean, like he requested, please call me Coach Sanders. And then the guy's like, okay, Deion. It's almost like Jim Rome.
So,
it's like, you know, don't, like, you remember the Jim Rome thing where he got into a tussle, right?
Correct. Chrissy, right? Chrissy.
Yeah.
Chrissy Everett.
I still believe that was all staged, but whatever.
That's a good, interesting.
That was all staged because he had this image that he was soft. And so when he flipped the table over on Rome, it was good for Rome's career.
Yeah.
And it was good for Jim Allen. He's a tough guy. Yeah. I don't believe it. So Jamel Hill tweeted, I covered Nick Saban for a long time. I always called him Nick. I covered Michigan State. I always called Tom Izzo Tom. And a lot of reporters, because I've been in his press conferences, they don't call him Coach Izzo. They call him Iz. Iz. And he answers to all of it.
Okay, well, Deion wanted to be called Coach Sanders.
He didn't have to get up and walk out.
But he didn't have to. The reporter didn't have to double back. Why did he do that? He says, no, call me Coach Sanders. You know, in that spot, I would have done, okay, Coach, let me talk to you about blah, blah, blah. You didn't have to double back and just... He said he didn't want to be called Deion. Just respect his wishes. Perfect example is like the Michael Malone situation, right? Was that Chicago's own Cassie Hubbard asked the question? It was like, Mike, I want to ask you. He goes, no. My name is Michael. Michael Malone. Yeah. Well, now, was that great? It was not a great moment for Mike Malone. Why did he do that? I want to be called Michael. You want to be called David, right? And I'd never call you Dave because you told me up front, like, I prefer David or Cap.
Correct.
And I do that. What if I just come in every morning and was like, sup, Dave? When you know you don't like it. And I'm just doubling, tripling down. You'd say, what's wrong with this guy? I told him, right? Same thing with Deion.
But
just respect the guy's wishes. That's all.
But if you were interviewing me, let's assume I go on and get a coaching job and you're doing the sideline. And... You said, Dave, what did you think of your defense in the first half? I wouldn't go, my name's David. I would not.
At some point, you'd put...
I might privately say, hey, man.
Over
I
to the
hate
side.
Dave.
Yeah. Right?
Right.
Okay.
But not where the whole world knows. Deion, I thought Deion was out of line. I did.
I think the reporter was out of line. He said, he made the request, Cap. Made the request, and then he doubled back. All right, Deion.
Hey,
really?
Deion, I was just wondering if you could...
Hold on, let's back up a little bit. You don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Deion. Okay.
I call Nick Saban Nick.
No, you don't. That's a lie. If you call Nick Nick,
yes,
you know you'll get cussed out on the spot. So don't do that to me. Treat me like Nick.
Okay, Deion. right. Just,
Gone. Yeah, it's just not a good look. Not a good look.
So the
yes, many reporters now are tweeting who cover the Alabama Crimson Tide. We call Nick Nick all the time.
Okay, that's one point. But the other point is that what about what Deion wanted to be called? Does that matter to you or no? Guess not.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't.
Well, you're not making that point today. I'm making the point that he wants to be called Coach Sanders. Fine. I'll call him Coach. That's the end of that. Why the double back? Why?
Well, when he says you don't call him Nick, so Brett McMurphy, who you know very well,
yeah,
he's a college football writer for ESPN. Breaking news: Alabama coach Nick Saban, during his press conference at SEC Media Day, was called Nick 8 times by reporters in different questions. And he didn't cuss out one reporter. Okay. Hashtag don't call me Dion. Hashtag call me Mr. Primetime.
All right. You didn't ask for that either. See that? See, now it's going too far. He wanted to be called Coach Sanders, not Mr. Primetime. Imagine a black man in a position to be a head coach in the SWAC wanted to be called coach, and that's controversy today.